Hello, everyone. I am Lee Carroll.
And I'm Monica Marani.
And welcome to the Healing Wednesdays Circle of 12. I would like to welcome all of those of you who have come, maybe for the first time. The first Wednesday of the month, we invite everyone. It's a free Wednesday. And so welcome to you, especially those who haven't seen this before. And then, of course, to our subscribers. Now, even some of the subscribers might be new because we're adding them all the time. Here's what I want to say just to get the logistics out of the way, and I always say it, and that is this. This is streamed, and it's a streamed live, which is a little more taxing on your computer than simply watching a movie. So here's what we tell you. If it starts and stops and you refresh and nothing happens, and if it's frustrating for you, please don't let it be, because what I want to tell you is this is being recorded. And the recording will be played back. Now, if you're a subscriber, I'll tell you that in your subscriber membership portal, you will get the replay link or that replay place where you can go. For all the rest of you, if you are watching, for instance, on YouTube, you will find that we will post that on YouTube as soon as we can. So replays are available for everyone. If it's frustrating for you, we just say, stop now, don't let it be, and watch the replays in any form. All right. What I want to do next is to tell you that the program is pretty straightforward, and you do the same thing every time. We talk about a little bit about our crying experiences. We have so many over the years that we have kind of segmented them out, and Monica and I said, well, what do we talk about this time? And we got a lot of profound things, lots of fun things. Then there is the channel, the first channel of the show. And then we go into an interview. The interview today, it's a great one. It's going to be Jonathan Goldman. He is like the father of sound, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, sound healing is his specialty.
It truly is. Yeah. And he's going to be with us soon. And then after him, we'll take a 10-minute break, mm-hmm. and we'll go to the Circle of 12. Okay. Subject is sound.
The subject is sound, and something the audience may not know is that for many years, Lee was an award-winning audio engineer. He had his studio in San Diego. It's called Studio West, which I believe is still operating.
It's still there, yeah.
Yeah.
They never changed the name when I sold it.
Never changed the name. And so Cryon came to Lee while he was still running his studio, and it was a transition time from going from being in the studio to being full-time with the Cryon work. And that in itself is an amazing story at one time I want Lee to share with you, because it's truly profound. But given that this is all about sound healing with the interview with Jonathan, I wanted to ask Lee if he could share with us some of the experiences you must have had in that recording booth in your studio days. Is there anything profound that happened?
I'll tell you this, and there are so many stories. I'll tell you what I can, then we'll move on to perhaps another day. But you may find this interesting, and actually it may surprise you. The first time I saw channeling was in my recording studio. Now, I had this studio for 15 years before I ever started Cryon. And what we did mainly in this studio of mine, it was a large one, was orchestras, because we did movie scores, we did a lot of production music, and that requires orchestras. So I was, you might say, orchestra intensive. So what we had there in an orchestra studio is, if you're doing an orchestra, that means that you're normally doing things with video. So many times the orchestra is involved in doing scoring. Those of you who don't know what scoring is, it's the name of what you would do to put the music on a film. And it's not necessarily as straightforward as you think. Those musicians who score, they're all hired, and they'll come in for a day or two, or perhaps three, the orchestra will come in, and there'll be certain clips of the film, not the whole film at all, only a portion, anything that has music, they'll give us. And those clips will be not finished. Some of them aren't even in color. Some of them haven't really been edited well. Some of them are just in, poor black and white. I mean, they look like B movies, no matter how good they are, and we'll score to them. And what happens is that the video is played, the composer has written the scores and the music and all that, goes out to the musicians, and we'll rehearse it and play it. And of course, that then goes into the movie. All right, that part is straight ahead. What happened this time was different, is we deal with first-class composers, people who do this for a living, you know, the John Williams type. And these people impressed me, but I really don't think I was ready for what I saw. We got to a place in the day where the composer got a phone call, and he said, well, there's another cue to do. In other words, he's either missed one, well, he doesn't normally do that, or one was being FedExed to us, and that's what happened. So we got the video, and it was, I think, no more than a minute and a half video. He'd never seen it before. And we had the orchestra there, and so what he had to do was, he says, do we have the video? And we says, yes, okay, give the orchestra a break. Now, typically, in a scenario where you have the orchestra there all day, they get 10-minute breaks. So we knew it would be 10 minutes. What I saw next, I was not prepared for. He took the video, and he watched it one time. And then he scribbled as fast as he could, and I watched him. A composer is not just, he doesn't write some things down. He's got to write orchestra down. He writes, this particular composer, what they call, writes in concert key. That means that some of what he wrote had to be transcribed with a copyist, and then other scores, musical staves, had to be made and given to the orchestra. All of that in 10 minutes. He saw it, he wrote, he gave it to the copyist. They wrote like crazy. When the orchestra was coming back in to sit down, I mean, even the ink on their paper was fresh. And I saw it. And what he did is that we rolled the video, and for the first time, we got to see him then direct what he had composed in that break. It was a scene that I remember. It was supposed to be not romantic, but touching. It was something that was going on. And it wasn't necessarily between two people. It was going on in somebody's heart or mind. And he hadn't even seen the film either. He just saw what was supposed to happen. He knew the relationships and that between the actors. And he wrote this. And when they started playing, my mouth dropped open, because it was one of the most gorgeous things I had heard. And it made the video come alive. I just thought it was a dumb scene. I just, you know, they play it, and there's a guy walking in the forest, and something is looking at the trees. Or what. And when he played it, and the orchestra then rehearsed it then, and we finished it in what they call put it in the can, and it became the scoring for that particular cue, I saw channeling for the first time. I saw a man, and out of nothing, he brought everything. I asked him later, I said, how do you do it? I said, what I just saw, I've never seen before. Do you do this with all of them? And he said, no. He says, usually I sit down and I'm very careful, and we noodle the piano a little bit, and we find out what we want. And I'll say, he said, it just came to me. And I said, the melody, had you ever heard that melody before? Where did you get the melody? And he says, well, it just came to me. And I said, but the voicing and the sonority, so what you did with the strings, I said, where did you get that? And he said, it's all there. And he says, all I did was to put it on the paper. That was the first time I had ever seen channeling.
That is a profound story.
Yeah.
It really is. And the whole, I mean, music impacts us so much. I'm glad you mentioned it was a musical score, because the music is what helps us go on a journey when we watch our favorite movies. And if it wasn't for the scoring and the music, I don't think we would feel half of the things that the actors are trying to convey to us.
Well, this is what I know, because I was in the business. There'd be some people, they're walking out of the theater, and I say, you like the film? They said, love the film. I said, what do you think of the music? And they go, what music? They had seen the film without music, they would have gone, this thing sucks.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, So I want to just share with our audience one more kind of secret. Part of the reason that made Lee such a sought-after recording audio engineer is that you have a musical background. Mm. Growing up as a young boy, you inherited this from your father, I believe, where you could play and read music. You played so many instruments.
We did, yep.
And read music, and that helped you in your role.
It made me a good recording engineer because I could, one of the few that I knew could read a score.
Yeah.
and know what was happening. Can I just tell the...
A funny story? Yeah. Well, I just want to share with you my secret.
Oh, yeah. What is your secret?
And I, too, can play a musical instrument.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I can play the recorder very badly.
Very badly. All right. We'll go with enough said about
that. So now
that.
You know my it's out there. My secret is out there. I'm a very bad recorder player. But what was something funny?
Okay,
that
we were
happened?
Doing another score for something, and I forgot what film it was. Nothing that anybody had ever heard of. We do a lot of scoring of industrial things and trailers and that kind of thing as well. And the maestro was this particular maestro, the composer. This happens, wasn't in the studio per se, in the control room. He was out there in the studio actually playing the piano and directing. And he was playing the electric piano. And at that time, it sounded great with the sonores and all the things that he'd put in. It was a wonderful sound. And we broke for lunch. And that lunch was maybe for a half an hour or so. And I saw him doing his thing out in the studio, and he moved some stuff. And he was, next thing I know, he'd moved over to the acoustic piano, the big one, and put his lunch on it, was eating his lunch. And when we came back from break, we did another piece of music, and we started rehearsing for it. And I realized that the acoustic piano on this particular piece of music he was doing just fit absolutely perfectly. It was like, how did this guy know? You know, truly.
So you think this is another channeling experience?
I really did.
He's
gone to this sweet spot.
Yes.
And he could hear it in the ethers. So, you know, I was always ready for this because this is what had happened before. And then at a break, another break, I went out to congratulate him because I was I love music. And when things come together with an orchestra especially, and it just warms my heart. Even though I'm in there pushing the buttons and things like that, I'm listening. Mm. And I said, Maestro, I said, tell me, what did you hear that made you move from the electric piano to the acoustic piano? And he looked at me and he said, well, Lee, he says, my lunch fits on the acoustic piano. So there was no channeling involved. It was about food. And so he had moved to the acoustic and just stayed there. And here I was, you know, making a big deal out of it.
And thinking, well, maybe it was channeled.
Yes, maybe it was. Can I just wrap this up by telling you that I am one of the few on the planet, truly, because of the job that I had, where I had the privilege of walking through a symphony orchestra while it is playing or while it's rehearsing. That is awesome. You have no idea what that's like. If you are a classical buff or you like music scoring and like that in movies, you hear it all at once and you hear it well presented and good speakers and all. You have no idea what it sounds like when you're in the middle of it, unless you're a musician who has experienced it, one who is playing in the orchestra. Even they don't have the privilege of walking around and hearing all of the parts in that big area where they're all playing together. There's just absolutely nothing like it. I have dreams to this day of what that sounds like.
I bet you do, because for me to just hear orchestra, and we both have been in concert halls where we've heard them, but the experience you're talking about is the next level. And I think the whole thing that, to wrap up our discussion of these musical experiences, is that Cryon says when we transition, we hear our name sung in light.
Yeah.
That's a concept we can't even begin to understand, but I think we get a peeking behind the curtain of when we have these deep experiences with sound.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into channel.
Let's do that. Let's hear from the grand maestro, Cryon.
Right. Yeah.
So let's do a channel, or prepare ourselves for a channel. And take a moment to relax into your chair. Allow all the tension within your body to drain away. And just allow your face to soften. Allow your shoulders to soften. Allow your legs and your feet, everything to just soften. And take some nice deep breaths. And let's give gratitude and thanks that we are now ready to receive the beautiful, enlightening message from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. So the subject of the day here is music. More than music, the subject would be sound. Perhaps more than sound, the subject might be a coherence of sound you would call resonance. Did I ever tell you that music, sound, passes through the veil? And what I mean by that is this thing that you call music, the thing that warms your heart and rings in your memory till your last breath, is something that happens on the other side of the veil as well. The reason for that, dear ones, is its representation of vibrations. Vibrations can be of many sorts. And the particular vibrations that you hear as a human being are the vibrations in the air. And the vibrations that you hear in the air, you compartmentalize and put them in ways where they would harmonize. They harmonize when they are multiples and fractals of one another in certain ways. And we have already told you that there are certain what you would call frequencies in music that belong together, that actually do things that your consciousness will recognize. Open fifths, for instance, is one example. But I want to talk about that which is resonances. I want to talk about something that you really perhaps haven't thought of. The guest today, the maestro of sound, knows these things that I'm about to tell you. He's thought of these things because from the very beginning, he has put sounds together that would then make a difference for health, for healing, because he knows that the cells of your body respond to sound. Do you know about resonance? Most of you know it, and perhaps you haven't heard the word. Resonance is when a sound that you make responds to another source or from another source and vibrates at a similar frequency. That would be easy to tell you. It's you singing in the shower. So you are in a box, perhaps a cardboard, perhaps a plastic, perhaps a cement, doesn't matter. But if it's a reflective surface at all, it can resonate. And certain shapes and volumes of matter will tend to resonate with the notes that you sing. And so if you've been in the shower and you sing a certain note and it's louder than the other notes, you find yourself singing that particular note a lot because you are resonating to the space or the materials or the reflections in the shower. Now, the question is, when you are singing the note, does it actually then vibrate something else? And the answer is, oh, yes, it does, indeed. If that something else corresponds to the note you're singing, it will actually vibrate a little bit. And this creates that resonance or the reflections in the air will start to vibrate louder because of your note. So it can be one of many things that would create resonance for you in the shower. Now let's move to something just a little more elegant. Many of you are aware of those who have made violins. In the past, and especially the masters no longer with you, who had the secrets of resonance. Let me explain something. If you are not a violin player, even if you're an avid listener, you probably cannot hear what is being played and what the violin player will hear. For the violin player is hearing something specific. That is the resonance of the notes, of the strings, and the frequencies of them that they are playing. Now, a wonderful violin maker will have put together a box with a certain resonance that they know that will let those notes, those strings vibrating, resonate within that box in a certain way. Not all violin boxes are made the same, and you know that because you have heard some of the astronomical amounts of money that go into purchasing those violins, which are so special from the past. Here's what you might not know. What makes it an absolute maestro's instrument is this. Every single note on the violin is different. Some of them represent open strings without fret. Most of them have to be fretted. That is, they're created by a finger on the fingerboard. But in most violins, in fact, most string instruments, certain notes will resonate louder than others. But if you get a violin where they all resonate about the same, then you have one that sings to you. Did you know the same thing is what those master piano makers have in common? Another stringed instrument. For the sounding board on a piano has to do the same thing. It can't have one note resound a lot louder than another. They have to be all the same, or as close as they can be. It's the science of resonating. You also have heard, especially perhaps on a guitar, that if you play one note and there is another string that is next to it or perhaps apart from it, and it is tuned a certain way, it starts resonating and actually starts making noise, even though you didn't play it. That's coherence, dear ones. That's vibration, and everything has vibration. What's next? Cryon, why are you talking about this? Let me ask you, do you think consciousness has vibration? Oh, here we go. Yes, it does. It has to. Everything vibrates. And it may not be cycles per second or hertz, as they say, in the air. It may not be measured that way. Does light have vibration? It does. Measured as the distance between the waves of light, the kinds of light, whether you have coherent light or dispersed light, that is vibration. Does consciousness have vibration? There were some medical scientists who discovered that with certain overtone relationships with one another, created in the laboratory, they could watch molecules vibrate. Molecules of your existence, of your DNA perhaps, or of your cellular structure perhaps, using microscopes to actually watch them. They discovered that certain sounds would enhance a certain molecule. They made other discoveries as well. One particular discovery, using a very special microscope, a scientist found that he could put together certain kinds of sounds that would shatter disease. He could see it under the microscope. It would leave the other cells alone, and it would shatter the ones he didn't want there. He could actually tune the frequencies to a virus or other things. Does your consciousness have vibration? What if, dear ones, you could go to a place and through thought alone start to do whatever you wanted to, which was commensurate with good in your body, which was commensurate with good in your body, meaning healthy? Is it possible that you could vibrate certain cellular structures and give them instructions with your thought, that you could be in coherence with certain organs of your body? What if you could be in coherence with cancer? And if you could, what would you say to it? Are you hearing me? Everything vibrates. Have you heard a song that makes you feel good? Is there a song that you could sing that it would put you into a peaceful countenance? Often there is. A favorite song, whether it has lyrics or just a melody that you can hear playing in your mind, that you say, every time I hear that song, I just stop for a moment and I feel peaceful. Does your consciousness have vibration? I just showed you it does. Because your consciousness was affected by vibration of music. Therefore, the music actually perhaps was playing the strings of your thoughts in order to bring you to a peaceful place. Have you thought of that? There is definite coherence between vibrations of that which is sound music and that which you are thoughts, and that is your consciousness. What if you could direct your body through that coherence, not hearing anything, but it's almost like your consciousness was a note, perhaps a special one that all of your cells paid attention. They stopped for just a moment while your thoughts give it instructions of coherence. Everything vibrates. What would you say to your cellular structure right now? What could you say? And here's where it even gets better than you thought. What creates aging? And the answer is the body clock is that which you have from birth, which literally measures the days. It knows day and night and day and night. It's a clock. Did you know that that clock was variable? Did anyone tell you that? Your body and all of the processes in it react to certain things, especially consciousness. What if you told your body clock to slow down? Count every other day. Do you think that would work? I've been telling you that for more than a decade, perhaps even two. This is the power you have of your consciousness over the cellular structure of your body because everything vibrates. It's a resonance. Your consciousness can resonate with anything in your body, even the disease. Your consciousness can create that which has been seen as miracles. Spontaneous remission is the resonance of a consciousness that says to that disease, be gone. And it cannot exist if the consciousness resonates with it and destroys it. What would you like to say to your body and resonating today. Oh, this is a Healing Wednesday, dear ones, and you need to hear this. There is so much that you don't know yet. You're so much bigger than anyone has told you. You have so much more control of you. And it's time to learn more. I'll be back. And so it is.
And let the energy of the Cryon channel continue to transmit. And slowly, when you're ready, bring your awareness back into your body. Bring your awareness back into the room. If your eyes were closed, we ask you to open your eyes, put a smile on your face as we move into this next section. And Lee, I am really delighted that we have Jonathan Goldman as our next guest.
I'm jumping up and down. It doesn't get much better than this.
It does not.
How I feel about music and sound in general.
Absolutely.
With my life before I did this.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So, Jonathan, are you there?
I am indeed here, and what a blessing it is to be sharing with you. So thank you for this opportunity, and hello, everyone.
Great, great.
That's wonderful.
Let's tell people who he is who don't know. I mean, it's unbelievable that somebody wouldn't.
It's unbelievable no one would know. So we want to introduce you to a most extraordinary human helping awaken the planet. And that's Jonathan Goldman, who is an international authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics.
He's the author of Healing Sounds. These are books now, Shifting Frequencies and the Lost Chord. He's authored the best-selling The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, Chakra Frequencies, and co-authored by his wife, Andy. His latest book is The Divine Name, winner of the 2011 Visionary Award for Best Alternate Health Book.
Now, Jonathan is the director of Sound Healers Association and the president of Spirit Music Incorporated, which is located in Boulder, Colorado. A Grammy nominee, Jonathan has created numerous best-selling, award-winning recordings, including The Divine Name with Greg Braden.
Greg Braden.
Reiki Chants, Frequencies, Sounds of Healing, The Lost Chord, 2012 Ascension Harmonics, and Chakra Chants.
Chakra Chants is one of my favorite, by the way. I just had to say that. He's a double winner. Now, this is double winner of Visionary Awards Best Healing Meditation Album and Album of the Year. If I received that even once, I think I would be dancing off into the sunset.
Absolutely.
You know, and he's a double winner. He's also a lecturing member of the International Society of Music Medicine. He's dedicated his life, and he has, to the path of service, helping awaken and empower others with the ability of sound to heal and transform.
Now, in 2011, Jonathan was inducted into the Massage Therapies Hall of Fame, and in that same year, Jonathan was named one of the Watkins Magazine's 100 most spiritually influential living people on the planet.
Living.
I like that part.
We like the living part. That's right.
And, you know, with all of these credentials, I think the thing that inspires me most about Jonathan is that he feels his calling to awaken humanity and empower them through sound.
John, this is a healing show. This is what this is all about. If I just open the bag to you, say, how do you heal with sound? What do you have to offer here? I mean, it's all over the place, but specifically.
Lee and Monica, thank you again. And I really just want to suggest that with regard to the power of sound, I'd like to go through some basic principles of how sound can heal. Now, our ancient mystic masters and our modern quantum physicists are in agreement. Everything is in a state of vibration. From the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom to planets and distant galaxies moving around their suns, they're all in motion, they're all creating a vibration. And this vibration can be perceived of the sound. In the beginning was the Word, and the Lord said, let there be light, sound preceding light. So the idea that sound is the essential creative force in the universe is ancient and also understood by science. And once again, being in vibration, just because we hear from around 16 of these vibrations, which is called cycles per second or hertz, 16 hertz, and this is called its frequency, to around 16,000. But our finny friends in the ocean, the dolphins, can hear upwards of 180,000 cycles a second.
Wow.
And they can actually encode and project holographic frequencies of sound. So what we may perceive of as nothing being there, dolphins can be exchanging extraordinary information. Mm. So just because we can't hear something doesn't mean that there isn't a sound. Now, with regard to things being in vibration, everything is in vibration, from the chair you might be sitting in to whatever. And this includes our body, every organ, every bone, every tissue. Every part of our body is in a state of vibration. And when we are in a state of health, we're like this wonderful orchestra that's playing the symphony of the self or the suite of the self, and we say we're in sound health. But what happens is, with that orchestra, if the second violin player loses their sheet music, what if they begin to play out of harmony, out of the right notes, and the entire string section will go off, and pretty soon the entire orchestra will go off? And this is akin to a part of our body losing its normal, healthy, resonant frequency. And what happens, of course, is that it begins to vibrate out of ease, out of harmony. We say it is diseased. And the concept of using sound for healing is simply, what if we could restore back to this string player the proper sheet music? What if we could somehow encode the proper resonant frequencies back into the organ or part of the body or etheric field, chakra, whatever you like, that is vibrating out of ease or out of harmony using sound? Mm-hmm. And this idea actually is also the basis of most subtle energy medicines, everything from aromatherapy to naturopathy to homeopathy to chiropractic to acupuncture to light therapy, you name it. It's the basis of almost healing every healing modality, is the idea of putting back in harmony something that is being, if you like, imbalanced through some sort of modality. So that's the basic principle of using sound as a healing modality. And then we move into two different ways that sound affects us. The first is called psychoacoustics, and this means the sound is going into our ears, into our brain, affecting our nervous system, our heart rate, our respiration, our brain waves. And when we are listening to music, when we are speaking, when we are singing, then we are being, shall we say, psychoacoustically affected by the sound. And for example, here I have a set of tuning forks, and these are tuned to a specific sacred ratio, and when I hit them together and then listen to them, it really causes a very deep, powerful deepening of myself. It's a great way to get into a relaxation, a great way to reduce stress. So tuning forks, or listening to nice, calm, and relaxing music is wonderful in these times that people are so stressed out. Mm. And it's even our voice, when we are speaking, we can literally affect someone else. So be very cautious about how you're using your voice and the words that you speak, because you're affecting other people. Mm. And you can either use your own sounds that way to heal and transform, or the opposite. So that is psychoacoustics. And then we have vibroacoustics. Vibroacoustics is when sound goes into our body and into our cells, going down to our DNA, and even shifting our molecules. So vibroacoustics, and one of the most powerful ways so we can create vibroacoustic sounds is with our voice, and particularly with something that I've been sharing really a whole lot, particularly with my wife, Andy. In fact, we've written a book that's doing very well called the humming effect. The humming effect, yes.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so cool because we came up with this because I've been in this field for about 40 years. And I've all worked with all sorts of different mantras and sacred sounds. But a lot of people confuse sound healing with needing to have a truly gifted voice, be a skilled musician or whatnot. So my wife, Andy, and I at one point were saying, okay, what is a sound that everybody can make that nobody's got judgment for? And we looked at each other and went, So we said the hum. And indeed, the humming effect, the first chapter, because we said, how many people are going to take humming seriously? Okay, so what if you did the first chapter and you made it what they call peer review information about how sound, and particularly the hum, can affect us? And we did, and therefore, that was sort of the key to getting people's attention, because here are some of the things that happen when you're making this really powerful vibroacoustic sound. You get reduction of heart rate, respiration, your brain waves go down. You get the release of endorphins, those wonderful feel-good hormones. You get the release of melatonin, which is really good for helping enhance sleep. And it's also an antiviral agent, but particularly also you get the release of nitric oxide. This is not nitrous oxide, which is wonderful in a dentist's office. This is nitric oxide, which is a vasodilator, which so it basically expands your bloodstream and makes it more fluid. So the blood goes through your body, therefore bringing more oxygen, all sorts of healing abilities to you. And it's a fabulous antiviral agent. So we've come across a number of doctors, literally, who've been recommending to people that they hum. And through humming, particularly in your nasal cavity, which is one of the places where some nasty viruses encode themselves at first, it literally can help assist and perhaps heal ourselves. I really wanted to share that because humming is something that everybody can do. You don't, you know, children do it, the elderly do it, we do it naturally. And what we have come up with in the humming effect is a term we call conscious humming. And this simply means taking, you know, and I'm going to lead you, if it's okay, in a process of this in a minute, but it's a process where rather than, you know, humming zippity-doo-dah or whatnot, which is great, you simply close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. Taking deep breaths are mandatory. So you take a few deep breaths, and then you basically just make sure your lips are closed, and you begin to hum. And Lee and Monica, can I ask you for a second if you would play with me for just a second?
We would love to play with you.
I'm ready.
We're ready.
Okay. I would like you both to begin to hum. Mm-hmm. And in order to hum properly, it's the only thing, you have to basically have your lips closed. You can't go, that's not a hum.
No.
Mmm is a hum. So you got to have your lips closed. I'd like you to begin humming for about 10 seconds and start humming and then just pinch your nose.
Okay.
And tell me what happens.
Okay. It's gone.
You can't
hum. You can't hum
if your nose
your,
is pinched.
Yeah. It's like the mute button.
It's a mute button.
Release the mute. Okay.
That's right. Right.
Release the mute. So, exactly. And I say to people, okay, if you didn't know that, most people did not, do not and did not know that. I didn't know that until I began researching the effects of humming. I said, do you think that there may be other aspects of humming that may also be really powerful and effective? And in fact, just sharing with you, the hum is actually believed to be the predecessor of the om. And in fact, in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali's, which is an ancient, ancient book, some translations of it have said, in the beginning was pranava, the humming of prana. that had to give this a name, so they called it Om. So if you think about it, the Om, the Om even is, if you like, an extended hum. So it's, you know, it could well be the first sound of creation, the cosmic hum, not the Big Bang, but the cosmic hum. Mm. So with regard to doing a hum, and I'd like to suggest that anybody who's watching this, try this. And also particularly, we're just going to do it three times. But I'd like to suggest that when you do the conscious hum, you do it for at least a couple of minutes, maybe up to 5 minutes. And if you don't have a timer, 25 hums, you know, complete with extended deep breathing is about 5 minutes. And then you gotta allow yourself a few minutes of just sitting there and being in silence. And silence is really the profound place where it is, if you like, the yin to the yang of sound. And it is a place where the true shift and change can occur. So once you have made or experienced sacred sound, being in silence, so important. Can you hear me? I just hit the mute button, actually. You still here?
I can hear you, yes.
Cool. All right, good. So thank you very much. So being in silence, and once again, sitting up straight, and you got to find yourself a place where you will not be disturbed or potentially disturbing others, because you don't want to be in the middle of a process and all of a sudden have somebody go, what are you doing? Because that'll be a little jarring. So you want to be able, sitting up straight, taking nice deep breaths, having your eyes closed, making a nice relaxing tone as well, something that is in your comfort zone, not straining, louder is not better. And then just paying attention the first time that you do it to the effects of sound. Where are you feeling it? Are you feeling it in your head? Are you feeling it in your chest? Are you feeling it in your throat? And you'll find that when you project also intentionality, which is so very important, when you project intentionality onto the hum, you can literally shift and change the power of the hum. So, for example, if you have, shall we say, a headache, and you want to work with that, just close your eyes and make the hum, projecting it intentionally to that part of your head that is giving you pain, and you well may find that it is assisting you. Or if you've got some sort of congestion in your chest, you could basically make the hum and focus it on your chest area. And with a little bit of practice, you will find that you can do this. Because once again, particularly working with sound, like working with any other practice, is a cumulative effect. The more that you do it, the more adept you will become, and the more powerful your experiences. So for this first time, we're just going to do three hums. We'll first begin by taking a couple of nice deep breaths. And incidentally, before we do this, I just want to say, if you are stressed out at all, if you have any sort of thing that's stressing out, take a nice deep couple of breaths and then do a few hums. You'll find your heart rate, your respiration, your blood pressure will drop on a level that's literally pharmaceutical. In fact, Bruce Lipton for the Humming Effect book wrote a nice little blurb saying that the humming effect is a natural, non-pharmaceutical way of achieving balance and harmony. And it's really true. That's why I'm sharing with you, because everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. Humming is an inclusive sound. It's not exclusive. Everybody can hum. Mm-hmm. Everybody can basically experience the healing effects of sound. Okay, let's do this now. Taking a nice deep breath, releasing it. Another nice deep breath, and releasing it. And now we'll do three simple hums with our eyes closed, taking a nice deep breath, and please join me. Mm-hmm. taking another nice deep breath. And one last one, deep breath. Then just for a moment, sitting in silence and seeing if you can feel some sort of effect from the power of this self-created sound. Well, Lee and Monica, did you feel anything for that one?
I loved it.
Yeah, you go first.
You know, it's the same thing that has happened to me when the first time, the only time actually, we went to India and experienced this in an ashram. And it works. It really does. It calms you right down. I love the blood pressure thing and what Bruce has said as well, because everybody needs that. This may be, as you say, just the basis of so much peace. So many belief systems as well.
Yes, I mean, no doubt about it. And, you know, once again, I've written some extraordinary books on the divine name. Wonderful with, you know, Greg Braden worked with me on that one, with chakra frequency, chakra chants. I've used all sorts of stuff, and it's wonderful. Highly recommended. But this is something I oftentimes call the hum a gateway sound, because it opens up portals to other dimensions mm-hmm. that people can get to simply by using this very simple yet profound sound. So I want to encourage everyone to do it, and I want to encourage everyone to also share with it. And I'm also doing this, if you like, humming sound as a global guided sound. So you basically work with a little heart-brain coherence in conjunction with that, which is a perhaps another technique at another time, and you then project it out, visualizing a three-dimensional Earth floating in front of you and projecting the energy to the Earth. And it's amazing, because we heal the planet, we heal ourselves. We heal ourselves and we heal the planet. We can make a difference, and we have a choice.
Yeah. I just want to say also, this whole idea of the heart-brain coherence, and as you know, and we're very familiar with that too, I felt that you have achieved that instantly with some of these albums, with the notes that you have chosen, with the singers and all that. It just puts you there almost instantly. I've used that so many times, and even in my office, I'll put it on when there's stress and I have too many things to do. And I tell you, it's almost like it just clears the air, and I'm just fine again. There's just something about it. You really, really mastered this. I think it's everybody. That's what the awards are for. Everybody feels it and knows it. And this is, it just fits right into everything you've said. And this is something you've also produced. I just tell the folks, if you haven't heard this music and you don't really understand perhaps what he's saying, this shows it to you. Just besides you just humming alone, this is just a profound thing.
It's pretty easy to do, and you can have it going on in the background. One of our best-selling albums is called Frequency, Sounds of Healing, and it's a compendium of about a dozen different excerpts from different albums. And Lee, you're totally right about creating instant heart-brain coherence. So thank you for that observation. I don't like to tout my own stuff, but I really appreciate it, because it is true. So
Monica has something here too, I think.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you for bringing us a new tool. There are many who are conscious about their sound that they make. And this is so, and even toning. So there's a lot of people that are encouraged to do toning. And even in toning, you can feel conscious about how not great you sound. But this is so simple. And for me to sit here and be okay with sharing my hum with everyone breaks through that conscious barrier of what are people going to hear and think. And I'm going to look forward to, because I also love your music, I'm going to try something now. I'm going to hum when I hear it. I felt like there was a motor in me purring away. And at the end of it, when we stopped, it was a conveyor belt of oxygen going through every cell of my body, and I'm so energized. So thank you.
I'm going to do something too. Based upon this, and this is something that you said is fairly new, I'm bringing in the ancient ways. The next time that we can actually give a meeting, and I mean, I don't know when that's going to be. That's going to be in months or whatever, because we've been in the studio now all this time. We're used to sitting in front of large crowds, and that's all, you know, coming back. And when it does, I would love to do a hum before the channel.
Yeah.
There's nothing we've ever done, not toning.
Yeah.
I want to do a hum before the channel and then set the stage for that.
I'm getting goosebumps already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's very great.
You might be amazed at the power of that. Lee, would it be okay if I gave out my website?
I want you to, please.
It's healingsounds.com. That sounds with an S at the end of it, healingsounds.com. It's got extraordinary information, free downloads, all sorts of tools. And it's actually an award-winning site unto itself, so I strongly encourage people to go there. It's a gateway into the dimension of sound healing, healingsounds.com.
Jonathan, this is a crazy question, but with all of the things that you've done in sound, are you a musician?
Oh, Lee, yes. If we'd had time, I would have told you how in 1979 I was playing in a seaside bar in Cape Cod, and I got on stage, and all of a sudden the light of God struck me.
Wow.
And that's how the field of sound healing opened up. It's a pretty interesting story, and perhaps I'll be able to share it with you all at some time, but what a blessing. And it's been a crazy, exciting journey for the last 40 or some odd years.
I know that our friend Greg Braden speaks very highly of you, and I know that you are friends, and I know he's actually been with you on one of your albums, and he plays your music in his sessions as well. I think that's one of the first places that I heard it. And
yes.
Then, of course, I went and bought all the albums after that. But
he's a good player himself.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
Most people don't know it. We get him to play the flute. And he has several, he and his wife sometimes together. Yeah.
So I'm excited about the book, The Humming Effect. Is that something people can get from your website?
From our website, from Amazon. It's also it's an Audible. It's it's kind of crazy. A friend of ours just sent us a little text saying that, saying go to this. And it was the movie that was number 7 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And we went to about the 58 minute mark, and there was a close up of a couple of books. One of them had really to do with the theme of the movie, but the one underneath it was The Humming Effect. And I thought, my goodness, you know, our book in the movies.
That's awesome.
In the movie.
That's awesome. I think what also I love is that it's so simple, and I'm hoping that there's parents that are now able to just help do this with their children.
Humming,
can you imagine?
Kids. Yeah. Yeah.
How that will change if we can have a whole lot of children grow up with this simple, easy technique of humming. Can you imagine?
Yeah. And particularly during this really extraordinary time.
Yeah.
My wife Andy and I just did a program yesterday on using humming for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Because we have something in our book about that, because it's real and it's profound. Once again, get the book. I just touched the surface on the power of what can be done with the hum. It's a step-by-step process of vibratory consciousness activation using the sacred sound of the hum, the conscious hum.
Jonathan Goldman, thank you so much for all that you've done. So much, I can't say enough in all these things, the books, the knowledge, the music. And we're still learning, and we're still learning from you, sir. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, we've enjoyed it enormously, and I hope everyone who's watching is going away with something that they didn't have before.
And that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So I will say, John, thank you so much, and you can say goodbye, and then we're going to go to a break after that.
Bye-bye, and blessings of light and love through sound to you and everyone.
Super.
Bye-bye now.
Great. Thank you, everybody. It's time for a 10-minute break, and then we'll be back. Thank you. Hi, everybody, and welcome back.
Welcome back. I hope in the break you were humming, continuing to hum. I thought that was wonderful.
That is great.
Jonathan shared.
I meant it. I want to do a hum instead of a tone the next time I have a group before we channel.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that would be wonderful.
I really love that.
Well, I think, Lee, let us now hum our way.
Do our channeling.
Into the Circle of 12. Circle of 12.
Before we do that, and yeah. I know that I will be, of course, channeling next, and there won't be a chance for me to really say goodbye. I so appreciate all of those of you who watch, and also just to say, if you like this and it suits you and you like what we're doing, we encourage you to take a look to subscribe. It's on my website. There's many ways to subscribe. It's all over the place. But the subscription, of course, will get you all four a month instead of just one.
Well, thank you, Lee, and let us now get ready to go into the Circle of 12. And as we prepare for the Circle of 12, let's begin by giving honor and thanks to Mother Gaia. She is our original parent. From Mother Gaia, she gives us all we need. Thank you, Gaia, for being here. Thank you, Gaia, for loving us. And let us give honor and thanks to the Star Mothers. Thank you, Star Mothers, for being here. Thank you, Star Mothers, for loving us. The Star Mothers are our spiritual parents who came to Earth as part of a grand system to give us the spark of divinity. This piece of God that lives inside. It's the power of the God energy within the human being. You are part of the system of the Creator that is biased in love. Let us affirm our willingness to receive the unconditional love of the Creator. I am willing to accept the perfect love of the Creator. I am willing to accept the perfect love of the Creator. I am willing to accept the perfect love of the Creator. And let us continue towards the Circle of 12, and let us affirm that we give permission to connect with the God inside.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon. Come closer, dear ones, for what I wish to do. These meetings are special. They're far enough apart so that you will be aware of what you miss from one to another. The camaraderie, perhaps, of being together in a group, even though separated perhaps by thousands of miles, all watching, all hearing, a coherence of vibration that brings a consciousness of one to another together. We haven't done all that many programs, my partner. And yet already there are those who are starting to understand what this is about. They're starting to understand the reality of the fact that there might be more to what they call real than what they have thought. From the beginning, we have told you that there are many dimensions, and that you live in only a few, and you call it everything. 4D or 3D, whatever you call it, is everything you have. There are some who are so attached to this that they will say, I cannot move out of it, and anything you say that is beyond what I can touch and feel is nonsense. And then there is the science, and the scientist who says, well, excuse me, but reality has multiple dimensions, up to perhaps 27. Well, that's all that you have discovered. There's a lot more than that. And you, as a human being, are living in all of them. Except that only the ones of four are you familiar with. And so your familiarity, well, that becomes your belief system. What you have not seen yet is not anything you think exists yet. And that's where the circle of 12 comes in. It's a repeating exercise of you crossing the barrier between that which is what you understand and know into that which is still real and still yours to experience, but that you don't know. To make things more difficult, multidimensional things, well, they don't act like you think. They keep changing and moving. And even if you believe that you can be there and go there as we are in a moment, they move, they change. And you're not used to that either. Change is difficult. It is difficult for all humans. Some say, well, I'm not afraid, bring it on. It's not about fear, dear ones. It's about being comfortable. On the other, is it safe? Some have said, well, how do I know I'm okay? Would I be stuck in it, for instance? Would I not be able to return? Would it affect my mind? And all of these questions show me you don't understand. Would a trip into your own consciousness be dangerous? Would you hurt yourself if you discovered peace and joy and love? If you opened the door and all your friends were there and they yelled happy birthday, would you slam it because it was just a little too unusual and you hadn't been there before? That's what we're talking about. You open a door and you don't just have your friends yelling happy birthday. You meet the rest of you, and it's just the same. It's celebration that you've even made it this far. Each time we start this journey, this circle of 12, I tell you that you journey into what I call the soup of consciousness, a multidimensional area, region of your own soul. Your soul is real. You know it is. There are so many who say that your soul will not leave ever. It's always somewhere. That soul of yours is not something that experiences death. It's always there. It simply moves on. All of your belief systems say that. So why are you afraid to visit this soul that is eternal and has your name on it? It really does. You journey with this soul so many places. On this planet, this soul has been many times and will continue to be many times. But your reality says, oh, well, I'm not sure. And yet you're sure that it continues. Why aren't you sure that it's real right now? There are those who say you can't touch it, you shouldn't be next to it. It's untouchable. It belongs to God. It belongs to you, dear one, because it is a creation of God. You are a creature of God. You are allied with the Creator. You haven't understood that either. You say you're apart from the Creator. You're not. You never have been. Made in the image of the Creator, you have the creative stuff inside. If you could step into that which is your soul for just a moment, you'd see it. You'd see it. There have been so many, dear ones, who have come to the edge. The edge that is the mist that separates what is real to you and then what is surreal. It is still real. It is simply above what you expect. And those who have gone there have been able to heal themselves. There are some who have gone there on purpose, some who have gone there by accident, some who have gone there by near-death experience, and they've returned changed, all of them, all of them. Some have had spontaneous remissions. Some have had awarenesses, awakenings, so many things that they can't even explain. And so many didn't want to come back. They always do. But then some found they could go anytime they wanted to, and some changed their reality. In other words, they realized they could walk through the mist at any time they wanted. They could actually stand between two worlds, some, dear ones, even took the mist away. Every master who walked this planet lives and breathes and works and existed in many dimensions at the same time. And that's what you saw. That's what you saw that attracted you so much to these. So compassionate were they. They could send messages to you. People followed them from distances, were called from distances and walked with them because their consciousness was multidimensional and you could feel the love and the compassion. Come with me. We cross a bridge together, we always do. This is a bridge that you create. It's a bridge from the unknown to the unknown, really. I've said it was from the known to the unknown, but right now I say it's the unknown to the unknown because some of you are starting to question where you are now. You're starting to understand a lot more about yourself. What if this four dimensions truly is an unknown place? Because there's so much here that you haven't discovered, even in four. The largeness of God inside you, even in four dimensions. The beauty and compassion that you could have, even in four dimensions. It's unknown to so many. This bridge is going to be that which is a vision for you, which is the pathway from that which you believe is real to that which you have not experienced as real. The bridge you cross is crossing to a part of you you're not used to seeing, a part of you that some of you didn't know was there. How many of you were told that you can't go there? How many of you were told that it only belongs to the few? This is where angels go, not you. I'll tell you something. You are an angel, truly, a multidimensional creature of the creator of the universe. That's who you are. It doesn't get much more angelic than that. Come with me, come closer, come closer. We're going to cross that bridge. Whatever color that bridge is or what size it is, you move into that place in the middle of the bridge where there is a mist. Stand with me for a moment and see the mist. In your mind's eye, this visualization, because what I tell you next is this. I am taking you into another dimension of you, not to another place, dear ones. It's part of you. You live in so many dimensions that are you. That is what I'm telling you. That your physical makeup is you. That the multidimensional cellular structure you have is you. You are built to do this. But up till now, you didn't believe you could. You stand at the mist and look at it for just a moment. On the other side of that mist is another you. The you were told either doesn't exist or you can't touch. And you're going to touch it. And you deserve it. Come closer. Take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. In this vision, take off your shoes. This is a sign of sacredness. You are about to meet that which is you, which is a multidimensional part. The ascended part, the part that you know so well has always been there, but you couldn't really touch. The part you dream about when you dream you're flying. Walk through the mist with me right now. Walk there. Take a breath. Is it a vision or is it real? Where are you? Is it a vision or is it real? What is real? Is it only what you have been used to, or can you expand yourself into something far, far larger than you ever thought? Dear ones, the physics of you is astonishing. It's not stuck in a reality that you can simply touch and feel. It goes way beyond that. Do you hear the music? You're in a place that changes all the time. It's allowed to change with your consciousness. Whatever is the most beautiful thing you can think of, it becomes. This is you in a reality that you did not know you could create. How do you feel? Some of you say, I feel a beautiful ocean breeze and there's no ocean there. Let me tell you what that is. That is the essence, the wind of peace, as it blows upon you, on your face, and tells you, stretch out your hands and feel that which is eternal, you. The soul is ageless, no beginning, no end. That's who you are. You have just stepped into that which is an eternal piece of you, wiser than anything you could ever be when you're in that four-dimension box. Why are you here? Part of your brain will still question, I'm sitting in a chair in 4D. How could I also be there? Welcome to the basics of a multidimensional attribute. Now, I want you to start to feel this. You know what's next. We're going to walk through a door, that temple that is there. The temple is you. It's any shape you want. The name on the door is different still than it was before. It keeps changing. What is that about, Kryon? I'll tell you as we go. Do you feel the sacredness of where you are? Do you hear the music? And you say, well, of course I hear the music. No, no, not that music. I'm talking about the other music. I'm talking about the music of your soul. That plays all of the time, all of the time. The music of love, of compassion for you, from the creative source. The creative source knows your soul so well, and you are just discovering it. Come into the temple and see the theater. The theater is there as it always is. I want you to move down the stairway in this amphitheater that is sunken. Move down that stairway and move onto the stage as you always do. There's a chair sitting on that stage. No one is sitting in the audience, not yet. Let's do an exercise. We've done this before. Let's do one. Let's spend some time in the chair. I want you to sit in that chair, whatever that chair is. It's a folding chair or it's a throne. It's whatever it is that you say should be yours. But right now we're sitting in the chair because I want you to practice resonance. And the resonance that you're going to practice right now is this. I want you to sit there and realize again something we have done before with you. The audience starts to fill up. But it fills with every single cell of your body, trillions of them. You say, well, the theater's not that big. Perhaps it is. You just haven't looked around. Cells of your body are listening. What do you want to say? Would you like to sing a song to them? This is what I want you to understand. Your consciousness can sing a song of love to every cell in your body. Do you realize that these cells of your body have never heard you talk, have never heard you sing? You are the boss of all of them, and they've never experienced you. You've been in that funny reality of 4D where you can't talk to any of them. And now you're in the chair. And now they're listening. What will you sing to them? What song? Will you sing the song of resonance, of peace and health in every cell? Will you sing a song that a disease cannot stand to hear and will leave because? Will you fill the stadium that you have there with so much love and so much compassion for that which is you, that they will all pay attention, so that when you come back to that reality of the four, you'll be different? I want you to stay in this chair and go ahead in your own mind, sing the song that all of them will then come and sing with you. Hum the song that they will all hum with you. Create a resonance so you all sing the same song. Then you're in coherence. This is the visualization. You can do this anytime you want. Is this real or not? Take a breath. There is a resonance between you and your cells right now, where you can control your health. Chase away the pain, the sorrow, get rid of the fear, the anxiety. None of your cells want that. Your innate is jumping up and down, congratulating you for the discovery of being able to sing in resonance and have all of them sing with you. It's a beautiful song, dear ones. It's your song. It's the song of the soul. Stay here. Just stay. Just stay. Come closer and stay. And so it is.